Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Thank you for standing. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan. Isn't that good to hear? I beheld him. I held him down. I held him back. How many of you really needed the Lord to hold the devil down? Hold him back. Keep him from you. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, that in nothing shall by any means him hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you through the name of Jesus, but rather rejoice because your names is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hold right there just for a moment. I'm reminded of when in Genesis 3, verse 15, after Jesus put everybody in their place, he said to Satan, he said, I'm going to bruise your head. I'm going to crush your head. Genesis 3:15, I'm going to crush your head, and I will put enmity, warfare, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. How many of you know that Jesus is a heel bruiser, a head crusher and a heel bruiser? He crushed Satan's head in Genesis 3:15. I'd like for Amanda to put up on the screen Romans chapter 16, verse 13, verse 20. Romans 16 and verse 20. Notice what he says here, verse 20. Did I give it to you right? Yeah, there you are. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the God of peace, we're talking about Messiah. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. I'm getting ready to preach this morning from Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 is where I want to preach from this morning. But I wanted to give you that scripture in the forefront of my message because I believe that God wanted me to give you that. Joshua chapter 10, powerful scripture here. And we'll go to verse number 1. And we'll not read that passage of scripture, but I'll give you an update on it. How many of you realize that we're in war? We're in war. And of course, as I acknowledge that we're in war, I acknowledge who the captain of our salvation is. I acknowledge that we have power over the adversary. I acknowledge that. Though the warfare gets furious, and there's times that it seems like warfare or the enemy is ganged up on us, and they become a coalition of armies against us to war, and the battles get furious. But I need to bring to your attention, God with us is a majority. In this passage of scripture, in Joshua chapter 10, the Lord told Joshua to go and support Gibeon. Gibeon was a royal city. He had made a covenant with the Gibeonite people even though it was through their deceit, he made a covenant with them that they would support one another. During this period of time, there was five Amorite kings that come down against Gibeon. Five Amorite kings. They were powerful kings. Adonizedek was the most powerful among the five kings. And he was really most noble among them. He was a powerful king. And so, in this passage of scripture, they've come against Gibeon. And Gibeon, they contact Joshua and reminded Joshua that they were covenant partners. And of course, Joshua was a man of God. Joshua was God's captain. He was a military man. So Joshua remembered what the Lord told him in Joshua 1:5. He said, "Joshua, I will not fail thee. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Be courageous. Be full of courage. Be courageous." Meaning to have courage, mental courage, to withstand all adversary. So Joshua took on the challenge to fight the five kings. Now, keep in mind, in his mind, he knowed without God's help, he couldn't defeat all these kings. They had him out military ranked. He was outnumbered, and he was looked like overwhelmed, but he knowed God was with him. "I will not fail thee." He took on that fight. It was furious. They were major enemy foes. But God was with him. God was with him. And I want to tell you something. In our worship, in our ministry, in our service to the cross, there's times the five kings group up against us. The devil gangs up against us, brings strongholds against us. But God told Joshua, "I'll be with you, I'll not fail thee. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you." Let's see what the Lord does. And let's see what the Lord does right now. The Lord took up that battle with Joshua. How did he do it? He used the elements. I mean, here comes these hail balls down from heaven like guided missiles. Like guided missiles. Targeted missiles that targeted the five Amorite kings and their armies, but the missiles never struck one Israelite soldier. These hail balls, I read in Kansas back in 1970, there was hail balls that came down. This is very unusual because hail balls is usually the size of a pea and on occasion maybe a little bit bigger. But in Kansas, they were 17 inches, weighed 1.67 pounds. I mean, that's a pretty big missile. But in this warfare, Joshua 10, I believe they were even bigger because they were meant to be bigger. They were meant to be a weapon of war that came from heaven. How many of you realize the Lord still got heavenly arsenal? Eli Makai. I feel the Lord really got his hand on me to preach to you this morning. I'd like to tell you the Lord's got heavenly missiles. He's got heavenly ammunition. He's got ways to attack the enemy that will take him by surprise. There's times that we try to measure ourselves by ourselves or by our circumstance or by the oppositional warfare that we're going through, and we feel like we're coming up short. And that may have been how Joshua felt, and he would have felt if he had been all alone in the battle. But could I say Joshua and the Israelite soldiers was not all alone in the battle. And I want to say in this house this morning and to all of our radio, YouTube, and Face audience, you're not alone in this battle. God with us is a majority. Man, I mean, here comes them hail balls right out of heaven. The elements working against the enemy, defeating the enemy. There was more killed by the hailstones than they was by the sword. I know their sword was sharp. I know they were experts in warfare. But how many of you realize God is a bigger expert? Amen. Amen. More killed by the hail balls than by their sword. Joshua took the challenge. He remembered what the Lord said. Joshua 1:5, I'm with you as I was with Moses. I'll be with you. I will not fail you. I mean, his challenge was to take Canaan by storm. Take Canaan city by city. He started at Jericho. He's went to Ai. He's defeated Jericho. He's defeated Ai. And now he's fighting the Amorites. Another strong people in war. But God was with him. I won't say God is with us. So he's in war. It's bloody. I mean, there's the death toll everywhere. But the war's not over. And God's got more arsenal. Now, Joshua says, Lord, I need more help. He said, I need more help. I don't know if you've ever talked to God this way, but I do all the time. Lord, I appreciate them hailstones. I appreciate all that arsenal, all them guided missiles that came down and took the enemy out. I appreciate you fighting for us from heaven. I appreciate that. But man, there's still a strong enemy. He said, Lord, I need more time. I need more time. And so what does the Lord do? He says, Lord, I want you to stop the sun. How many of you know these are big prayers? This is big time praying. Lord, I want you to stop the sun for me. How's come? I need a longer day. I need a longer day. I need more time. I'm in a major fight here. And we got the edge on them, but we've not beat them yet. I need more time. How many of you realize that God honored his prayer? Lord, I need more time. The Lord stopped the sun and he stayed the moon. I want to tell you, God's people don't realize how potent and powerful you are in prayer. Amen. Joshua was God's man. And when I preach to you this morning, I'm confident that I'm God's man. I'm not God's only man, but I'm God's man. And we need to have the confidence from the pulpit to the pew that God hears, God answers, God honors prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's much benefit in it. God, I need more time. I need more time. You know, I've prayed in my older life. And of course, most of you that know me for a while knows I've had some major attacks upon my body. And I've said to the Lord, Lord, I need more time. I need you to extend my days and my years here on earth that I can reach out to your people to harvest them into your kingdom. I need more time. God give him an extended time. When I think about an extended time, I think about Hezekiah. God spoke to Isaiah the prophet, and he said to Isaiah the prophet, he said, I want you to go to the temple and tell King Hezekiah he's going to die and not live. Now, he was a 38-year-old king, young king, 38 years old. I know that Isaiah probably really dreaded going to that chamber and saying to that young king, Hezekiah, I'm on a mission. God told me to come tell you you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah believed his word. He turned his face to the wall and wept sore. Before Isaiah could get out of the temple, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell him I saw his tears and I heard his prayer and I've given him 15 more years. How many of you realize God can give you more time? Especially if it's for his purpose, if it's for his cause, he can give you more time. I actually have read where God gives 6 more hours. 6 more hours of daylight time. 6 more hours of sunshine. 6 more hours of daylight. Why did he give Joshua 6 more hours in that battle against those 5 Amorite kings? Because God wanted him to complete, mop up the battle. He wanted him to complete the battle. Buddy, when that sun refused to shine and it stayed in its place, and the moon refused to shine, how many of you realized he had more time? He was really bringing that battle to a close. You know what them 5 kings did? Let me tell you what the devil will do, just like them 5 kings. He'll turn turkey and run. Them 5 kings put their tails right between their legs, and they turned turkey and they ran. Let me tell you something. I believe as Joshua, with the help of God, put the devil on the run, I believe we, the people of God, can put the devil on the run. I mean, they turned turkey and they ran to a hiding place. But they didn't only know how to fight right, but they didn't even know how to hide right. They didn't even know how to hide right. Man, they ran to this cave, Machadah, to hide. That's a big cave. Them 5 kings, they probably knowed about the landscape and the terrain. They found an entry in there and they hid. But Joshua, I don't know if it was because somebody told him or because he had the discernment of the Lord. How many of you know the Lord still gives his people discernment? I like to say the Lord still visits me in vision and dream, especially in the morning hour when I'm rested. But he knowed about it. He sent his generals and his captains to the mouth of the cave and said, put your roll a big stone up there in the mouth of that cave. He said, them five kings are in there. Just, I want you to roll a big stone up to the mouth of that cave. They did, and he mopped up the battle. There's a few escaped, but he mopped up the battle. When he got all his mopping up done, and he killed them out and had the victory, he took his generals, his captains, to the mouth of that cave. Let me tell you what he said to them. He said to his men, he said, bring them out. Bring them five Amorite kings out. They were powerful men. They had sharp swords. They were military experts, so to speak. He said, bring them out. And he said, when you bring them out, he said, captains, what I want you to do, he said, I want you to put your foot on their neck. Get your foot on their neck. He said, get your foot on their neck and stand there and hold them down. So his captains put their foot on these five kings' neck before all Israel. They're standing there with their foot on their neck. They got them pinned down to the ground, prostrate down to the ground. And he said, what I want you to do, I want you to be full of courage. I don't want you to fear any of these adversaries. I want you to stand strong and be full of courage because God is with you. And he stood there and had them, their feet on their necks. I want to tell you something. I believe there's times we need to follow that example. We need to put our foot right on the devil's neck. The Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I seen him as lightning fall from heaven. And he said, behold, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. That's the power the Lord give us. That's the power he give the ministry then and now. That's the power he give the church then and now. And I believe when we pray, we are to pray with that integrity that we got the power. Was it Laverne Tripp used to sing that song years ago on TBN? We've got the power. We've got the power. I believe there's times we need to sell that story to our own heart. We've got the power over the enemy. We can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy because Jesus is with us. And then he said, I want you to take your sword and kill him. It was a public assassination. It was a public killing. And then he said, I want you to hang them up on trees. I want you to display their corpses on trees. I want all Israel and all Canaan to see these five kings hanging on these trees. I mean, what he did was not in a corner. What he did, he displayed it before all Israel, all Canaan. He's on a mission. God said, I've given you power to take Canaan. Go possess Canaan. It's your inheritance. I want to tell you something. God's given us an inheritance right here at Matamora. God's given us an inheritance right here at Matamora. Amen. And that's what they did. They hung them kings up till nightfall. When the sun set, he said, take them down. Take them down. And when you take them down, he said, put them back in the cave. I want you to incarcerate them back in the cave where they were hiding. And he said, that cave will be their tomb. That cave will be their tomb. And he said, they're going to be in that tomb to this day. How many of you know that we can put the devil back in the tomb? We can put the adversary back in the tomb. I don't know what your adversary is this morning, but do you remember the scripture that that Amanda put up on the screen, Romans 16 and verse 20? He said, I'll put Satan under your feet shortly. I will put Satan under your feet shortly. I will put Satan under your feet shortly. How many of you feel like he's under your feet? Warfare has been brutal. The challenge has been overwhelming. Overcoming odds, addictions, attacks, abuses, sufferings. You know, it's been overwhelming. But how many of you realize God said then, and how many of you know the scripture speaks now and is speaking in this house this morning and to all of our many listening friends by the way of YouTube and Facebook, God is speaking this morning and saying the same thing to you. I'm putting Satan under your feet shortly. It's easy to say that when you're walking on the water. When you're out there with Jesus and you're seeing all this water walking from Christ, boy, I'm in a victory. It's easy to say it when you're on the mountain, but say it when you're in the valley. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're saying it when we're in the valley. You know, God's honored some powerful prayers in the Bible. I'm coming to the close here in just a minute with this. I remember when Moses was standing at the Red Sea and he said, Lord, I'm trapped. I've been commissioned to take your people to the Canaan land. I've been commissioned to take your people to the Canaan land. We're trapped. The Red Sea is in front of us, it's got us blocked. God, I need you to answer prayer for me. God, this sea is in my way. It's the Red Sea. It's deep water. The enemy's breathing down my neck. Pharaoh and his army is right behind me, breathing down my neck. I'm trapped. I need you to answer prayer for me. God said, what you got in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, stretch it out over the water. And God made a path through the Red Sea. That's powerful praying. That's powerful praying. You know, I think about Elijah when he was at Zarephath and the widow's son died. And she's all, like I would be, she's all bent out of shape, full of grief. Began to question her faith. Elijah, that prophet of fire, he spoke life back into that boy. He prayed a resurrection prayer. Johnny on the spot. This is powerful praying.